Any reaction limits to our first segment? I got a tweet, somebody saying it's a common misperception that on Rudolph, the dentist's name people think is Herbie. It's Hermie.
It is Hermie.
Which I assume he's Herman, and then he must have played hockey. They call him Hermie. Is that right? Hermie?
Yeah. It's very easy to confuse them.
Sure
and then
it is.
Our friend Chris, good friend of the show, says, don't let Joe compare you to Hermie the dentist.
I think it's a compliment. Limits.
I am just a nitwit. That's where I fit in.
No, I think the comparison comes in that like Hermie the dentist or the fledgling dentist, the dentist hopeful, you are a bright-eyed optimist who wants really good things for your life. You're very ambitious. He wanted to be a dentist. You're on your way to great things in the radio business. I see a comparison there that I think is complimentary.
When you put it that way, I would agree, yes. And I remember Hermie the dentist, the guy who was bullying Hermie. Well, I probably wasn't bullying him, but just trying to keep him in line. You have to make toys. You're an elf. Make toys.
Yeah.
He eventually...
He didn't want to be pigeonholed like
He eventually was one of the first clients of Hermie the dentist. How about that turn of events? You like that one, Horace?
That's irony.
Very ironic.
Which can sometimes be difficult to define, but from now on, whenever anybody asks me to define irony, I'm bringing up that example. It's wonderful. Limits.
Very glad. Added onto the list of names from Wonder Twin.
Chris.
Twin Peaks. Chris.
Yeah. Go ahead and crack one more. I think our six-pack is turning into a seven-pack, but this is the old salad drawer beer that you save for 3 a.m. when everybody thinks the beer is gone.
It's the Baker's Dozen beer.
Pat Narduzzi named to the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year watch list. I mean, I think that's significant. I think this whole Pitt story is significant. He's coming off a horrendous year, and you're looking at a change in athletic directors, right? Those two things are not good for any current head coach anywhere of any sport. Horrible year, athletic director changes. Not a good combo. But Narduzzi has started 6-0. Pitt for the first time since, what, 82? They're ranked 20th. They have a very interesting game coming up against Syracuse after a nice little break here. Syracuse beat then number 23 Georgia Tech. They beat then number 25 UNLV. They've been good, man. They're 5-1. They had a very narrow loss to Stanford. So that's on a Thursday night, and I know Stanford hasn't been real good. But that's a huge game. And then I think SMU after that, right?
Yeah, and SMU is ranked.
So this is opportunity here. And good for Narduzzi that he's off to a great start, and he's on this list. How do you think this Pitt season winds up, Limits?
Well, I think we know who Pitt is. They're a team that's going to be identified by Narduzzi's defense doing enough to win, but Eli Holstein in this offense is going to be the main catalyst for it. That wasn't the case in the last game.
Well, yeah, so in that case, they wouldn't be known for Narduzzi's defense. The defense played great last game. The calling card of this team has mostly been...
Eli Holstein.
And, yes,
yeah,
and needs to be the quarterback.
And we're going to learn a lot more about Eli Holstein in this SMU game, Syracuse primetime, and then eventually the one you circled on the calendar at the very start of the year, Clemson at home.
Yes.
Because if you win that game, even if you drop a game to SMU on the road or Louisville on the road, you're talking about you beat Clemson, you are very likely going to the ACC championship game.
This is good stuff, man. I mean, you get to Clemson undefeated, and lots of people are going to have you on that bracketology. Pat Forty already did. I don't know if he followed it up this week. But last I checked, last week, he had Pitt as an at-large playing at number whatever it is, Indiana. I think Pitt was a 9 seed on his list. Can you just imagine in that tiny little brain? I'm sorry, that was an insult. It's only because of your stature, I said, tiny brain. You're actually a smart man.
Understood.
Can you conceive of Pitt Penn State at Beaver Stadium?
Yes, and I've talked about it before. I talked about it the last weekend a couple of times and asked a couple of people about it. Like, that would be... First thing that pops into my mind is, how much would tickets be? And the next thing that pops into my mind is, I don't care.
You'd be there.
That is one of those... legacy type of, like, I didn't get a chance to go to the 2013 wild card game, And that is one that I always regret. Now I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
But I always think to myself, if moments like that happen again and come up again, I don't care what it's going to take. As long as it's not like $1,000, I will be there.
That needs to happen. It needs to happen. And they'll answer me this, because I haven't looked at it closely enough maybe to answer. Will this bracketology be very formulaic, or will there be a little leeway like there is in NCAA basketball to get creative and look for good matchups? Look for Dixon versus Howland. Look for a little rivalry game, whatever, like they might do in basketball, where you look down the bracket and you see, oh yeah, they set that up intentionally for good reason to get more eyes on that game. Do you think there's room for that in this bracketology to say, yeah, it could be Pitt against that team, or it could be Penn State against that team, but why don't we sort of nudge this rivalry game? Why don't we get Pitt Penn State here in the first round?
Possibly. It's a lot easier with a 68 team field, and when five of these, and it's the first time that this is happening in the college football playoff. Like, it's new to everyone.
Does it have to be? In other words, is it, you know, you have your byes, and then you have the next ranked team against number 11, 12, whatever.
That would flow a lot better. Like if it's a,
but is that a demand? Does it have to be that way? Is it mapped out that way, or is there room? I don't know.
I think there's some room. There's wiggle room if Pitt and Penn State are both teams ranking from 5 to 11.
If they're both at-large bids,
correct.
Right?
Yes, if they're both 5 to 11 in that at-large category, because the 12th is going to go to the next group of 5 team.
We can dream, can't we, Lemon?
Yes. Why not?
I mean, like I said a few weeks ago when we talked about this, you have license to dream anything you want. You have license to talk crap until you lose a game. Say anything you want. You can dream anything you want. It's not unrealistic right now. It's not a pipe dream. It's the type of dream you have where there's realism to it.
And we were realistically a minute away from both of those dreams ending.
I know.
You know, like if Cal's...
But that only underscores how close we might be getting to
Yeah.
it.
Cal's 40-yard field goal doesn't flutter in the air, or USC doesn't have a bad last drive when they could have kicked a game-winning field goal in regulation.
That Cal coach, boy, he was something in that game. Pitt should have carried him off the field at the end. What was he doing?
The band is on the field.
The coach, it could have had Joe Starkey, my namesake. He was the guy who called the band on the field play. They could have had him come on special and say, the Pitt players are carrying, what's his name? What's the Cal coach's name?
I don't remember.
Off the field. This is a twist. What was he doing, Limits? Going for two early in the game?
He's dumb.
And then he had to chase that? It's always a bad sign when you have the same number of touchdowns and field goals as the other guys, and there's no safeties involved, and you somehow don't have as many points. What the hell is he doing?
I called a game earlier this year. It was CMU football. They had a field goal, a touchdown, and like two safeties to factor it into like a 21-14 game at some point in the fourth quarter. It was hilarious. But
do you
yeah,
call those games on the radio?
They're on TV.
On TV?
Yeah.
The CMU games?
Yes. Well, this week it's Grove City at W&J, which is a really good game.
Do you know I got my start covering games like that? And
no.
That E.J. Borghetti, now famous of Pitt, was CMU's, what would you say, sports communication?
SID.
Yeah. He was their SID.
I didn't know that.
That's how far back we go. Look at us now, Limits.
We should go to this Syracuse Thursday night game. I really want to go to that.
Maybe we can hit the hayride on the way there.
Yes.
And report back to Stephen Fabian.
It might be an hour-long journey, but we'll take it.
Is that his name?
Stephen Fabian, yes.
Yeah. Coming up, hear what Ian Rapoport and others, including Ben, have to say about the Steelers quarterback situation. I'm surprised. Not that there's one camp against the other. I think cases can be made for both. I'm surprised at the vehement backing of Justin Fields, to the point where Pony and others are saying you're just out of your mind if you think anything other than Justin Fields should start this game. Let's talk about that, Chris, shall we? 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to the Starkey Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. We also have the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. Maybe he was there when Devontae Adams was there yesterday. Does he travel? Does he travel to that show, Limits?
No.
Does he ever make live appearances? Has he done that? We'll ask him.
Yes, we should. Well, remember, he was invited down to join them in their suite down in Indianapolis. Big Ben was there, but Cabali didn't go.
He didn't. What is he doing? I mean, that would make for a good story. If
he
nothing
had to
else,
work.
You interview Ben. Forget
yeah.
about working. That is working. You put on your website and a one-on-one with Ben. He's gone nuts. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevy, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 53 today with cloudy skies. Paul was ready to sell his current home and find a new home and knew that because the current real estate market was so challenging, he didn't want to do it on his own. So we contacted Gina for help. That was a good move by our friend Paul, the protagonist in this story. And he's very glad he did. Paul said he didn't realize the importance of having a top-notch real estate agent until he worked with Gina. And he said Gina's knowledge, efficiency, and flexibility made all the difference. Gina was able to quickly sell Paul's Highland Park home for over $750,000. And she was also able to help Paul find his forever home. If you're ready to sell your home or buy one or both, be sure to contact Gina. You can't lose. She sits down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh. Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Call Gina. 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com. Oh, we have the general on the line. I thought you forgot to call him.
He always calls us.
I was going to let you off the hook there. All right. General Patton, we like to call him. Jeff Patton of the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It is indeed time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Your chance to win comes from going on our website right around noon, today through Friday, 93.7thefan.com. Limits, do you have a guess as to the Card of the Week?
I'm going to say Russell Wilson. Welcome to the party this week is the Card of the Week.
What a wonderful man you've become. I'm going to say Evgeny Malkin. Excuse me, going for his 500th goal tonight. General, how are you and what do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me today.
I'm sorry that Limits forgot about you.
That's all right.
I did not forget. I talked to the general for 5 minutes
in my ear. Yes,
I did.
You didn't say the general's on the line.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yep.
Nope.
Okay.
Go ahead, General.
I'm here either way.
So, I'm sorry to put you through this.
And Malkin are percolating. Probably be future Starkey's Card of the Week. This week, we're going with Najee Harris, rookie Prism autograph.
Man, I can imagine that card springing to life and just running through people. I mean, he was possessed in that game, General.
It was a red hot card when he was drafted here in 21. Sort of atrophied a little bit over the last 2 years, but there's been a resurgence. This is a particularly interesting card. It's a Prism autograph.
Mm.
And all this talk about Christmas has me feeling in a given mood. How about we throw in an Eli Holstein autograph card?
Ooh, well, I love that one. Don't leave that Najee card, you know, by itself at night. It'll be like Toy Story. It'll spring to life and it'll start running around like a maniac. I love this guy. Sometimes.
Like we wanted him to, exactly right. So we got a Najee Prism rookie auto, and we're throwing in an Eli Holstein autograph rookie card.
You're one of the most wonderful men who has ever lived, General. Thank you.
You have a good week. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy.
Thanks.